Blog Talk Radio.
Today, this is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes. So, also we have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And my new book is called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So that's available. We sent out our first press release this week. And that's available on Lulu.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a few other bookshops there on the internet. So it's a great book. We talk about the Richard Roberts family, Oral Roberts, TBN, Randy and Paula White, and how they bankrupted their ministry without walls. And also they had two church foreclosures. So Seed Faith, it didn't work for them, although they claim it works. And Randy recently, he posted a picture on his Instagram, and he's sitting in a Rolls Royce, and he says that he has a great business mind, and he told the people, don't hate, because I've given away millions of dollars to the poor and needy. So, but it's like a friend of mine said, he didn't give his own money away. No, he didn't go into his personal bank account and give millions of dollars to the poor and needy. He took it from the tithes and the offerings of his church that he manages to swindle on a weekly basis by giving people false promises that they have to pay God off. Otherwise, then God doesn't bless you. But see, he blesses Randy. But I have a question for Randy. Now, Randy, if you have such a great business mind, how in the world did you bankrupt your ministry? You filed for bankruptcy in 2014, and also your church in Lakeland that you bought, it was banged up for about 3 years. You didn't pay your electric bill over there. You had, I think, over 100 creditors anyway on your bankruptcy. And the church was bulldozed. The one over there in Lakeland, it was bulldozed. And then the one in Tampa, without walls, it was also bulldozed. It no longer exists, that one there. So I don't know. I would question your business acumen, really. That doesn't sound like good business practices. But anyway, they claim, see, they want you to believe that you don't have to really work, and you don't have to do too much to get rich. What you have to do is you have to bring your money every week to the church house, your tithes, your offerings, your seed faith gifts, your first fruits offerings. Randy and Paula White, they had a good gig going over there in Tampa when they were together. They still do it on their own, but now imagine this. They had this, what they called the first fruits offering. And in January, they tell their congregation that they're to set aside 1 month of their salary, or 1 week of their salary, or 1 day of their salary. Now, could you imagine a family giving 1 month salary to Paula and Randy? Now, what did Paula and Randy do with all the money they had? At one point, they bought mansions, they bought a jet, they bought Rolls Royces, they bought Bentleys. And I could guarantee you that probably there wasn't one person in their congregation that was doing that, that was living that kind of a lifestyle. So we see that it's very, very lucrative to be a false teacher and to be a false prophet. Very, very lucrative. But like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? So I'd rather just have what I have and be happy and serve God with a pure heart than to have riches, especially ill-gotten riches. It's just not worth it. Well, as you noticed, I had a different theme song today. And that's the song I wrote. I wrote it actually in March, and I wrote it for the Donald Trump campaign, which I think it's a terrific song, really. It's a great song. And I was hoping that they would adopt it as a campaign song. And so, anyway, I didn't, they didn't adopt it as their campaign song. And I actually went to one of the Trump rallies, and I was right up front there, right in the front, and Donald Trump was going by. This is when you could get near him. This is before he was elected. So he would come after the rally, and he would come to the front, and he would sign autographs, and you could maybe have a word with him or whatever. So I thought, well, I've been trying for months to get this song to him. What I'm going to do is, I had a little business card, and I had the song title on the business card, and I had the YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's called Songs for America by Susan on the YouTube channel. So I thought, well, I'll hand him the card, and then maybe he'll go and listen to it himself, and then maybe he might want the song. So anyway, I got right up front. He went past me. I handed him the card. He took it. He put it in his pocket. And I didn't really get to talk to him. We didn't engage in any conversation. But I was hoping that maybe I would hear something, because campaigns, they need theme songs, you know. But they didn't. Anyway, I never heard from the campaign. But I'm still hoping that maybe maybe one of my listeners knows one of the bands that are going to the inauguration. And maybe one of the bands might like to play this song as they're marching along, or to use it as a jingle or something. So if anybody has any ideas, please contact me, Susan@propheticmuse.com. And don't forget that you can go to the YouTube channel Songs for America by Susan. I've got a little video that I put together there with the song. So anyway, I'm thinking that after the I might adopt it as a church song and reword it, because it's a catchy tune. I like it very, very much. So I want to see it used in some way. So like I said, if you have any ideas, let me know. That would be helpful. But anyway, hasn't it been interesting? It's going to be interesting to see how it goes with this, with the Donald Trump presidency. The news media. Now I noticed that. See, this program is a Christian news media. This is Christian news media. We report the news as we see it, and we take the time to vet the stories that we talk about. We don't put up stories. I try not to put up any kind of story that is my opinion or something that I heard. I try to make sure that I check it out and make sure the stories are true before I give you the news. But that's the way the news media should operate. And you would think that CNN and Fox News and CBS and ABC and NBC and all these big news organizations, you think at least that they would report the news accurately. But they don't. They don't report the news accurately. But the past few weeks, they've been talking a lot about fake news. And they've been accusing, for instance, like the Breitbart news. They have good news on there. I don't see anything wrong with their news. They have headlines, and the headlines take you to stories. And some of the reporters write stories, and it's actually a very good source of information. And then there's the Gateway Pundit, which is another pretty good source of news. And the Drudge Report. And Matt Drudge, he doesn't write any of the stories on his report. And he has millions and millions of viewers every day, but he just puts up a headline and sends you to the news story. So yet they want to say they're making these accusations about fake news, and we have to clamp down on fake news. But I never saw so much fake news coming out of CNN and even Fox at times presents fake news. The last week or so, CNN has been making this pitch to portray Donald Trump as he's Hitler or he's a white supremacist. And of course, the people from Breitbart, they're white supremacists, and they don't like the Jews, and the KKK supports Donald Trump. Well, it's so ridiculous. I can't believe that they're allowed to get away with making up these stories, and then they go on and on and on about it, because the thing is, if they keep saying something, they know pretty soon it's going to stick. And most people, when they turn the news on, they don't take the time themselves to vet the news and to go and do the research to find out if the news was true. Well, you shouldn't really have to do that if you're listening to, say, for instance, CNN, which has million, they spend millions of dollars sending their reporters out to different countries and to different cities across this country to do the news, to actually go to the area and see for yourself and then report things. And then please report things accurately, but don't make up news. And I've seen so much fake news. If they want to take off the fake news stations, they should take off most of these reporters on CNN. They're not really journalists. If you spend a day listening to CNN, you'll hear the same stories over and over again rehashed. And the journalists themselves really haven't done the investigating, or their investigating is biased because they want you to believe their opinion. So it's basically the same thing when you go to church and the pastor has an agenda, the pastor has a vision for the church, and he is going to collect tithes and offerings and seed faith gifts and whatever else he can do there to fulfill his vision. So they count on most people not doing the investigating, not reading your Bible, and not finding out for yourself what the truth is. And it's the same thing with these news organizations. They have an agenda to accomplish their goals, and most of it is the one world government system, the globalist agenda, which is a world without borders, a socialist world or a communist world. But who likes that, really? Who likes that? People think they like socialism or they think they like communism, but it takes away the incentive of people to make a better life for themselves and the sense of accomplishment that you have for doing something for yourself instead of expecting entitlements from the government, for instance, just because you get married and you have children, that you feel like you're entitled to health care and you're entitled to free schools and you're entitled to all these things because you got married and you started a family. But in Christianity, we take responsibility for our families. We take responsibility for earning our livings, and we don't owe any man anything. We try to do whatever we can to make our lives better without being beggars and without feeling like we're entitled. But yet we have created a monster in the church and even in the secular world where people have a sense of entitlement and they feel like because they were born, because they grew up, then the government owes them something or the church owes them something. And that's not the way it is. We're responsible for our own lives, and we're responsible for taking care of our families and not trying to burden other people with our problems all the time, because all of us have problems, but ultimately who's going to help you solve your problems? God is going to help you solve your problem, and he'll get you out of the mess you made, and he'll give you a way out, but he wants you to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Can't get any plainer than that, right? So anyway, it should be interesting to see what happens in the next few months. I'm going to watch it closely and see how this whole agenda plays out, which, it should be different. I'm hoping it's going to be different. I'm hoping that they can do more to stop so many abortions that occur in this country and to focus more on adoptions, because there's people that want children and they have to travel all over the world looking for children to adopt when there's millions of babies that could be born right here and that people want. So we're hoping that they'll put more restrictions on abortions and try to change the culture, try to change the mindset. Because the mindset of the people that are pro-choice is that we don't have to take any personal responsibility for our actions before we make the baby, but we want a choice after we make the baby to kill it. Well, that's hardly a choice, isn't it? The choice is don't get yourself in a situation where you're going to have a baby in the first place if you don't want one. And instead of taking the extreme position then of having an abortion, but they don't want to teach people personal responsibility. They want then the government to be responsible for paying for people's abortions and free health care so people can have abortions, and the government funding Planned Parenthood, who provides abortions. Now, that is ridiculous, really. It's really ridiculous. So, but really, it is the church's responsibility to set the moral standard in the nation. It's not really the government's responsibility to do that. And the way that, for the most part, the church has been portrayed in the media, it's kind of like a laughing stock to people that are looking at it and seeing all the begging that goes on and the scamming that goes on. Even people that aren't saved can recognize these scam artists when they see them on television. They probably sit there and laugh. But that's the way Christianity is portrayed for the most part. The other day I turned on the Daystar channel, Marcus and Joni Lamb, and they have one of their daughters got married, and you should see the elaborate wedding and the videos that they took, these top-notch video productions, and they even set up a special set for her when she came on to talk about her wedding. Please, I would say they probably spent close to $1 million on this wedding. The flowers and the gowns and they brought three or four ministers there to marry this couple. John Hagee came. So just to afford to have John Hagee coming, they had to pay him. Don't think he came for nothing. And then they had Robert Morris, who's their pastor, Pastor Robert Morris. And they, of course, he didn't come for free either. And they had, what's the guy that wrote The Harbinger? Jonathan Cahn. Oh, he came. And then there was somebody else. Oh, I think Marcus was also one of the people that married his daughter. So very lucrative to have this kind of ministry, so-called, to afford these lavish weddings, and then to spend almost an hour's worth of Daystar television airtime talking about it, and then they're going to have another hour special, and they're going to show you the whole ceremony. Anyway, that's the way they spend the money that comes in to the network, is on these lavish affairs, which I'm sure they didn't take most of it out of their own pocket, or they have a way that they're going to get it back anyway. So, but there was also an interesting piece of news here about the Crouch family. Now, you know that Jan and Paul Crouch passed away, and then there was a big breakup of the family where Paul Jr., who is the legitimate son of Paul Crouch Sr. and Jan, and the main heir apparent of the network, he was fired anyway in 2011. Along with his children, his three children. So, and then TBN proceeded. Oh, there was all these lawsuits. There's still so many lawsuits. TBN spends between $5 and $6 million a year on attorneys, and mainly to sue they've been using a lot of these this money and these attorneys to sue their own family because they had over 20 lawsuits against Britney, who's the daughter of Paul Crouch Jr. and the granddaughter of Paul and Jan Crouch. Now imagine 20 lawsuits against this girl and in different jurisdictions. So they have to keep going from, she has to keep going from different places, place to place with these lawsuits. She had to file bankruptcy. Now imagine the Crouch granddaughter had to file bankruptcy because her uncle Matt and her grandparents couldn't stop suing her. And so anyway, it looks like Matt Crouch now has filed a lawsuit against Paul Jr. And there was one exchange where they wanted Paul Crouch Jr. to come in for a deposition. So anyway, he told the attorneys, Matt's attorneys and TBN's attorneys, that he had already done a deposition, so he wasn't coming back to do another one on the same thing. And they were demanding that he turn over his computer and all his personal emails. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? They wanted his computer and all his personal emails. And now, he hasn't been there since 2011, and Matt has apparently inherited everything. He inherited everything, and yet he can't leave his brother alone. He can't. He just keeps harassing these people. It's like, leave them alone already. You got everything. You probably inherited over $500 million from that network, from the properties and the stations and the satellites and everything else, the furniture and the mansions. And what more do you want? No. Filing this lawsuit now against Paul Jr., and Paul Jr. said that he said you'll have to waterboard me first before I'll give up my computer and my personal emails. And he said that he was going to start a blog, and he was going to tell people exactly what's been going on, which he should do. He really should, because now that his parents are dead, there's no way he's getting the network. While they were still alive, there might have been a chance where he might have been able to inherit something. They might have changed their mind. But now that they're gone, he's not getting anything. So why doesn't he just come out and tell the truth about what's been going on? What does he have to lose at this point? He has nothing to lose. He already lost it all. But really, I mean, God in his mercy, I believe God in his mercy took it away from Paul Jr. and tried to give him an opportunity to have a different life and to do the gospel a different way, which he hasn't been doing either, because he's been appearing on... Now he's doing telethons. He worked at the Word Network for a while, and then he was fired from the Word Network, and then he's going around to the different so-called Christian television stations, and he's doing these telethons with them, and he's helping them raise funds for their projects. So he's doing the seed faith thing. He's doing the whole seed faith thing, which it's like, Why are you doing that? You know that that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. If you want to raise money for a project for Christian television or whatever you're raising money for, you just simply ask people if you want to do it that way. If you want to ask them for donations, just ask them for a donation. You don't have to con them out of money and make these false promises to people that to give this $100 or to give this $1,000 that God's going to do something back for you. All you have to do is ask. If that's the way you choose to run your ministry, is to ask for donations. But that apparently doesn't work. It does probably doesn't work so well anymore, because you have now to get, in order, with how they think anyway, it's not how I think, but how they think is, you have to tell, you have to promise people something in return to, in order for them to give a donation. Otherwise, they don't want to give, because if they're not going to get something, why should they give? So they keep going back. You see these people are still giving because these people are still on the air, and it takes millions of dollars to run these networks. It takes a lot of money to run these networks, but of course they sell airtime, and they're making many millions of dollars selling the airtime. I think TBN, for instance, they make $50 million a year just selling airtime, so they don't really need to do telethons because they were making enough money just selling the airtime. Anyway, they don't even really do telethons that much anymore. So, and supposedly they're starting to sell off some of their properties. So we'll see in the days ahead. We'll see TBN kind of, I'm not going to say they're going to totally fall by the wayside, but maybe Matt will just totally get out of the whole TBN business and sell it off. Who knows? I mean, I don't know that he's going to do that. I'm just saying maybe he will do that. But a lot of these Christian networks, when you look at maybe there's, I know on my satellite network, there might be 8 or 9 different networks. And there's all the same people basically on the networks. There's hardly anybody different. They're all saying the same thing. And mainly the people like Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, Mike Murdoch, Creflo Dollar, they have enough money to be on these networks because it's very expensive for the airtime. So ordinary people that have a ministry can't even afford to get on there. And anyway, they probably wouldn't want most of those people. The Word Network takes just about anybody, but they still have to pay for the airtime. So, but that's where I think a lot of the media, for instance, like my program and the programs on Rapture Ready Radio and our brother, the Wolf Tracker, and different people that are out there with their independent Christian news networks trying to get the news out unfiltered and without any kind of scheme in mind to get the news out, but merely presenting the truth as it is so that we can see the church. Because what is the future of the church when you look at it now? And you see the condition of the church as it is. It's in a sad state. It really is. And if people talk about, oh, we're going to have this great revival. Well, I don't see that happening. I don't see any great revival happening. I see a great falling away. And it becomes more and more apparent as the days go on that there is a great falling away. People falling away from the truth of the gospel and going into these false religious systems where you walk in the door and your pastor's dressed in a dress and he's got a collar on and maybe the dress is purple and he's got a big ring on his finger, and when you walk in there, he wants you to kiss his ring. Now, that's a very, very sad state of affairs. Very sad. How did the church and these people, they say that they're Pentecostal. Well, how do they get Pentecostal and get so messed up? How did that happen? How did people that claim to be born again and spirit-filled, how did they get in such a state where they actually get dressed in the morning and they get in their car and they drive over to these buildings and then they come in the door and there's a man standing up front, the bishop or the right reverend or whatever he is, and then there's his wife, the first lady, and he's standing up there and then he's demanding that you call him by his title, because you can't call him John or Fred or whatever his name is. And then he's got a ring on his finger, and then you have to go up there and you have to kiss his ring. Now, what has happened? Did people lose their sanity or what? Did they lose their sanity that they would allow themselves to be treated like that? That they would waste their time even going into a place like that to supposedly have a church service? I don't think so. There's something wrong. So revival, I don't know. I don't know. It would be difficult, really. It's difficult to think that we're going to have a revival. We need a reformation. We need a reformation because this is not the picture of the church that the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. So he had a different church in mind, and it's a fellowship of believers. And it's a group of people that we help each other when we can. And we preach what the Bible says. We don't make things up for our own gain. And we don't try to make ourselves into something that we're not. We're just average people just trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And very interesting, though, what's happened. So when I hear people talking about they expect to have these great revivals, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I think we have our work cut out for us as far as still trying to get people. For instance, even when Kim Clement died a few weeks ago, and you see, you can go to Charisma magazine and you can read some other things that have been posted on the internet, and they call him a prophet. And even this headline I'm looking at here at Charisma saying Kim Clement prophesied Trump's presidency in 2007. Now, first of all, Kim Clement wasn't saved. I don't know what happened to him on his deathbed. And the reason I can say that is we talked about this last week. If you go to his website and you go click on kimclement.com and you go to beliefs and you go and you look at what he says about being born again, and he says that the third chapter of John basically isn't true because Jesus never told people he had to be born again. Well, when I go to John 3, I see that Jesus did say that. So if Kim Clement did not even believe what Jesus said about it, then how was he saved? And then why are people, even Charisma Magazine, giving him credit for being a prophet? If he's supposedly had been a prophet of the New Testament church, he would have at least said John 3 is true. I would suspect that. But that's how far gone these people are, is that they accept anything that it might look like God, and they can talk about Jesus, and they can make you think that they know God. But he didn't try to hide who he was. He put it up there on his website. He told you who he was. Sometimes these people are deceivers and they don't really tell you what they really believe. But he did. And here's Here's Rick Joyner now on this page here on Charisma News. Rick Joyner shares prophecies that signal the rise of the glorious church. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And Rick Joyner himself comes out with these outlandish prophecies and joins the Knights of Malta and dresses up in a funny costume with a black cape, and he goes through this ceremony to be knighted. And what for? What for? It's ridiculous, just to make himself appear to be something that he's not. And even the man that's doing the ceremony is dressed up in one of those funny bishop outfits with the hat and the cape and the gold clothing. And I think the guy was even carrying a staff. So why? What for? Why would you even bother doing anything like that? It's just to make yourself look like you're somebody. And you're somebody that's supposed to be ahead of us regular folk down here. But it's not true. We're all in the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't have any big people and any small people. He just has people. just has people. So, yeah, there's a couple stories, and it says here, what prophetic voices are saying about the late Kim Clement? Well, here, this is our program is called Prophetic News. This is what one prophetic news voice is saying. Why did he say on his website that you didn't need to be born, that Jesus said you didn't need to be born again? That's my question there for the so-called prophet. That's what I'm saying. But I don't think anybody's saying that here on Charisma. But it's kind of an interesting magazine, Charisma magazine. Here's another headline here. It says, Jimmy Carter urges Barack Obama to divide the land of Israel at the United Nations before January 20th. Oh, yeah, fancy that, right? Fancy that Barack Obama, before he leaves office, is going to divide the nation of Israel. Let me talk about a conflict. That would be interesting. And remember Jimmy Carter. Now, that's why I question when a lot of these candidates or when people that are representing candidates are saying, well, he was born again. I remember when Jimmy Carter was running for office and the people at my church were saying, yes, he's a born-again Christian. Yes, he's born again. Well, obviously, now when you see the fruit coming out of Jimmy Carter's life, you see that he's not born again. He wasn't a born-again Christian. And now he's telling Barack Obama to divide the nation of Israel and to go to the United Nations to do it? Oh, I don't think so. Oh, that'll be interesting. Yeah, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens before January 20th, because people are already flocking across the border like it's going out of style because they're afraid that after Trump becomes president, they're not going to be able to come here illegally anymore, which you shouldn't come here illegally. You should come here legally. Go through, obey the laws. But didn't Jesus say, he said in the end times that there would be lawlessness, and we're seeing lawlessness. They're not going to obey the laws. It's just like these sanctuary cities. The sanctuary cities. And they have people coming there that are here illegally, and they're going to give them sanctuary, and they're going to give them welfare. And then who's going to pay for it? Who pays for that? The people that are working and who live here are paying for it. But no, they're not going to obey the law. They're going to do what they want. Now, the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about lawlessness. And we're seeing that in the church, and we're seeing that in the government, is that we don't care about laws. You have to have laws. You have to have laws. And you have to have people to police the laws. And that's what one of the jobs of the church, too, is to have, we have laws that God gave us, and we have to live by his laws in order to have a good life and to have a happy life and to have joy and peace. And then we need somebody to enforce the laws, such as an example. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the pastor is the policeman of the church, but the pastor is there to give the guidance and to help people to stay on the straight and narrow by giving godly counsel and, of course, always pointing people to the Word of God. But yet, for the most part, what you see is you see these renegade pastors who won't keep the laws themselves, and they're more interested in being in the ministry because it's lucrative for them, and they realize that people do respect the pastor. They do respect the pastor. They'll and they like to listen to what the pastor has to say. They like to obey the pastor, sometimes more than they like to obey Jesus. And when people get this kind of power, they take it. Then they know that they have power over people. Then they take advantage of people. But that's not the way Jesus Christ set up his church. No, he didn't set up his church like that for the people in leadership to abuse the sheep and to take advantage of them and to take advantage of how naive they are, especially new Christians. Remember when we were new Christians? We were just, we didn't want to believe anybody would do anything bad, especially Christians. We didn't want to believe that. But, of course, we found out that not everybody that went to church and called themselves a Christian wanted to really live like a Christian. And sometimes our leadership let us down, too. So, but we have a long way to go as far as we'll be coming into a new year very soon. It's hard to believe, right, that 2016 is just about over. We'll be coming into a new year. We'll be inaugurating a new president. And I was looking into what it would cost to go to this inauguration. So, very interesting. I was looking at the, for instance, you know, they have a big parade. Okay, so, and then they have a place where they set up where the president sits with his family, and there are seats in the back of him, and then there are seats in the front where people can sit and watch the parade go by. So one of those seats was $17,000 for a seat there, $17,000. And then I think standing room only was to stand. Now, to stand in the cold, January 20th, it's cold in Washington, to stand for hours on end. I think it was $600 or something like that, to stand. I said, well, wow, you know, the only way you could afford to go to this inauguration is if you were invited or you were rich. And so then I said, well, let me see what it costs to go to one of these inaugural balls. They have a lot of these balls, and it would be fun to go to one of those, wouldn't it? To get dressed up and wear a gown and all that, and to go to a ball, and actually the president comes in with his wife. And so, all right, to go to one of the balls, and if you go to the ball where the president actually comes, and it's guaranteed that he comes, that was $4,000 for that. So if you wanted a seat at the parade and you wanted to go to the ball and then hotel, okay, hotels. One hotel in Washington had Now, $200 for this hotel in Washington. And you know what the $200 hotel was? It was a dormitory. It was a dormitory. So you can stay in a dormitory there nearby for $200 and sleep in a room with about 30 or 40 people. Now, that was delightful, right? But some of the other hotels were $1,000 a night, $2,000 a night, $3,000 a night. What? $1,000 a night for a hotel? So if I wanted to go to the if I wanted to go to the inauguration, it would cost me about $30,000, $40,000. That's how much it would cost if you wanted a seat, if you wanted a hotel, if you wanted to go to the ball. Oh, brother, I guess I'm not going to that. Unbelievable. It's not made for average people to go to this inauguration. Like I said, you have to have an invitation or be very, very wealthy to attend. But they don't make it easy for average folks to attend this thing. But it would be a good experience to go and to be there and to actually see it. I can say for myself, I thought it was interesting to go to the rally. And I was going to go and see Hillary Clinton too, not because I liked Hillary Clinton or believe in her policies, but just to see what it was like to be in one of her rallies and actually to see her up close. Because, for instance, when you see Donald Trump up close, and I was about 3 feet away from him, I was right in front of him, he looks different. He looks very good in person. He's very well put together. He's very neat. He looks very confident. He seems very approachable. And so you get a different feeling about a person when you're in the same room with them and you're close to them. Of course, I don't know, really, I've never met Donald Trump. I don't really know him as a person. So I can only say what I've observed. And but it's the same thing with Hillary Clinton. I wanted to go and see for myself, and I'm sorry I didn't go, really, because she wasn't too far away from me, but I wanted to go and see for myself exactly what she looked like and how she presented herself. So it's interesting. I remember when I was about 11, maybe 10 years old or whatever, John Kennedy came through our town, and I wish I would have gone even then to have seen a president, because when you think about the United States of America and the president of the United States will become the most powerful man in the world, one of the most powerful men. Probably the Pope is probably the most powerful man in the world. But it's interesting to be a part of history and to see these people up close. And even if you could get to know these people and have conversations with them, if God puts that together, because it's good for these kind of people to have godly counsel, to have people around them that can offer them godly counsel without an agenda. And they have to keep people around them that know God and can offer wisdom and, like I said, godly counsel. And I know that Robert Jeffers, the pastor there of one of the Baptist church, I think it's in Dallas or Houston, one of those places. Anyway, he's a close confidant and also Jerry Falwell Jr. So he's got some good people around him. He's got some flaky people around him, like Paula White and some of these other flaky people that he doesn't need their counsel, that's for sure. But, you know, God does give the opportunity sometimes for people to be close to people in power to be there for them. And so we have to pray. We pray for Barack Obama and for his future. And we pray for his safety. We pray for the future president of our country. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm going to look and see how it all pans out, you know, after. Because sometimes when people get elected and then after they actually take office, things are different. And you just never know what could happen to a person. Just imagine where one day you're a businessman and the next day you're president of the United States and you're one of the most powerful men in the world. You have power. And so sometimes that power can go to your head. And we hope and we pray that doesn't happen. But we hope that some good will come out of it. And like I said, it's going to be interesting to watch and see what happens in the future, because it's all a part of God's plan, I believe. We'll wait and see, won't we? But anyway, I'm going to close with my song, Make America Great Again. And again, if you have any ideas of how I could use it, or I think it also would make a good jingle somewhere in a commercial, but contact me, okay? Susan@propheticnews.com if you know any singers that would like to sing it, or any bands, like I said, that would like to play it at the inauguration. That would be fantastic. So let me know, okay? And remember, the most important thing today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins today and ask him to come into your life and to change your life. In the third chapter of John, Jesus said you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans today, and the book of Romans says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Jesus Christ can forgive all of your sins and give you a brand new life. He promised that he would do it. And God loves you today. God bless you. See you soon.